When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. This is KJ, and Jessica and Taylor are with me today, and we are going to be sharing with you our top 10 alternatives to therapy. We thought this would be important to discuss because therapy might not be in the cards for everyone right now. We promote it a lot. We love it, but it's not always for everyone, and sometimes there's just barriers to getting into therapy. So we're going to share some things that we think can be alternatives and can be really helpful. So who wants to start? Start off with numero uno.
I can start.
They're
with
both
that
shaking
one.
Their heads at me.
So number one, we have meditation and breath work. And I used to practice a lot of yoga back in the day when my body was limber and my mind was flexible.
Well, but, probably because you were doing yoga, Taylor. So if you were to do it again, you'd do that.
We're noticing a correlation here. Exactly. So I would kind of put I know that we have something similar to this later on the list, but meditation, breath work, or yoga, or whatever vehicle you need to use in order to focus on your meditation, that would be very good. This is just an extremely effective, efficient, and approachable way to connect the mind and body together. And so I remember taking just a foundational yoga class, and we spent like three classes just focusing on the breath, how to breathe, Ujjayi breath. Don't quote me on that. My Sanskrit is rusty.
Mine is non-existent.
So if that's wrong, I apologize, but the intent is there. And that is to focus on the breath, calm your body, calm the central nervous system, reduce any unwanted anxious or depressive symptoms, and just be able to sit in yourself and ground. And that's what we talk a lot in therapy about, is grounding in the here and now. And so doing that through meditation, breath work, yoga, that's obviously a good opportunity to do that. And yoga, I mean, you don't have to like join a studio or do a challenge or anything. You can just go on YouTube and do like beginner yoga and focus on that, or yoga breathing or meditation or anything like that. So those are pretty like approachable steps for meditation and breath work, in my opinion.
We love to hear it. Yes, mm-hmm, we do. Mm-hmm. The next one we have is journaling. You guys might remember from episode 119. That's a hint. You can go listen to that one if you haven't listened to it already. I'm a big journaler. I'm really into journaling right now. Still into it. So it has been a while now that I've been consistent with it. So every day I do a little journaling about how I feel, what I want to get done that day, how I want to feel that day, how I want to feel that season, how I want to like live my life, all of this stuff, you know. big questions, small questions, and just like, this is what happened to me today. I have nothing else to say. And sometimes I just start writing and just see what comes, you know. But I do find that I feel better as long as I give myself enough time to write. The only problem with journaling is if you stop like halfway through and you're still maybe in like a downer place, it's nice to make sure that as you journal, you come back around to maybe a more positive. And I find that if I give myself 15 minutes to journal, I do always come back around to a more positive place, which is interesting how like your brain, it needs to work through it. And then it kind of lands on this like, but here's how I'm going to handle it. And here's what I'm going to do. And, you know, and so it can be really helpful if you don't know what's going on in your mind. Like I feel depressed, but I don't even know why. Start journaling and just journal until you kind of come through that wave, you know, that kind of thing. So it's very helpful for me. 10 out of 10 recommend. It's a great alternative to therapy.
She's a journaler, everybody.
You better believe it. It's just loving it. Who needs a therapist when you can just write to yourself?
Yeah. I do have a journaling success story. I hate journaling forever for my entire life. I recommend it nonstop to every client that I have because I know the research is very effective. However, I was going through one of those perpetual relationship problems that we all have with long-term partners. And I had ruminating thoughts that were just like, oh, bouncing around and making no sense. And then I just took out my notes app on my phone and I was like, I'm going to just jot down a couple things. I started journaling for the first time in like 25 years.
Welcome to the club.
And I felt better. So for me, that was really helpful when I had a problem that I needed. I have a difficult time starting cold, you know, like, let me just see what's in there. I have to
write something.
What's in
but
there.
But if you knew there was something going on up there. Yes.
It was very effective from like a non-journaler person. So makes sense why it's number two on the list.
Testimonials. Testimonials. We love it.
All right. The next one we have is exercise. No one's surprised by this one, I don't think.
You shouldn't be surprised.
We've probably all experienced the like drudgery that goes into getting prepared for a workout, having the workout, and then feeling the high afterwards and what that can do for like mental clarity and just overall wellness. Jessica shared this statistic with me before we started recording though, so we had to make notes so I could share it because I was kind of mind blown by this. This statistic, you're 350% less likely to relapse into depression if you're consistently working out like after you've come out of a depressive episode. Which those are,
that's a big percentage.
I
was like, yes,
statistically significant. That is,
especially when you're just coming out and you have that like huge relief of like, I have energy again, I can do this. The first thing you want to implement is exercising. As soon as you have energy, first thing you do, you exercise because that's going to help you maintain the energy and the happiness. It'll help you sleep, which will help you, you know, blah, 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 on and on and on. It's a win, win, win all around.
Yeah. And just to share another statistic about exercise I learned lately, because this is fascinating to me. I was listening to a podcast episode about how to decrease your risk of cancer or like serious illness. And it was like presented in a way, you know, sometimes you hear those podcasts and it's like terrifying. This one, they did a good job of like not terrifying you. But the doctor that was being interviewed, he said his like number one thing is that research has shown that if you get your heart rate up for just 4 minutes a day, you are 20% less likely to get cancer in your life than people who are not active every day. 4 minutes of like getting your heart rate higher. And I was like,
I should probably do some jumping jacks for 4 minutes, you know?
Right.
You,
like, if I don't pee myself first.
Yeah.
So then go to pelvic floor therapy.
But anyways, exercise is very, very powerful for mind and body. So it's a good one. Good antidepressant there.
Best one. All right, next on our list, we have listen to health or health self. Okay, let me try that again. Listen to self-help things like books or podcasts or articles or things like that. So the self-help, I mean, that's like thoughts on thoughts, you know? It's pretty much, it used to just be like 5 traditional books, right? Like 7 Habits for Super Healthy People or whatever that book was. But now there's so much material out there.
So many things.
Very specific resources for you. Whatever your jam is, you can pretty much find those things out there. So if it's about like minimalism or Marie Kondo folding your clothes or Thoughts on Thoughts podcast about communication or pretty much anything.
Brené Brown.
Yeah. What are you guys? What are your favorites? What are your, if you're like self-help top ones, resources, things you go to first?
Okay. So lately for anyone who has Spotify, they added audiobooks to the membership. So there are actually tons of self-help books on there that you can just listen to with your membership. Let me read the ones that... Okay, so I am currently listening to The Anxious Perfectionist. That one's all about, you know, perfectionism. And then on my playlist, I also have Good Inside by Becky Kennedy.
I love Dr. Becky.
Yeah, I was like halfway through that one. I can attest. It's good.
Parenting and relationships. And then, this is one I'm really excited about. Disentangling from Emotionally Immature People by Lindsay C. Gibson. I think that one
sounds fascinating.
Would really be good to listen to for people who have emotionally immature parents. So anyways, that is just a tip that there's a lot on Spotify now.
Wonderful.
Well, not free if you pay for it every month, but you know what I mean.
But included with your membership.
Included.
Yeah. So we love it.
Yes. It's so just,
there's so many out there.
There's so many. Yeah. Logan and I were just listening to No Drama Discipline again.
Yeah, love No Drama Discipline and Whole Brain Child. 10 out of 10.
He tries to listen to it on the way home from work, so he's ready when he walks through
He's ready for it.
Guys, because dramatic here. Oh my gosh.
it's so gnarly. You got a pregame, you know?
You got front load that coat and front load.
Yep, I'm going to add that to my playlist.
Yeah, that was that's been very helpful with our kids lately. And it's like, I read it already, but it's just like the language.
You need to remind. Yeah, it's very helpful.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Or like, I'll start using other ways to deal with my kids, and then they get into like a different phase or an age or something like that. And then I'm like, oh, we got to go back. We got to do the no drama.
Back to it, guys.
Back into that.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of The Untethered Soul?
Oh, I have.
That one's a good one. That's like very, it's about like changing your thoughts and not letting your thoughts dictate how you live.
You got that. Untether your minimalist, soul. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Untethered.
Oh, absolutely. You know that I will worship at her altar the minute she comes back to Instagram, wherever she is. Yeah. But she is gone.
Wait, which one? Who are you worshiping?
The LA minimalist from Instagram.
I love that girl. We love you, LA Minimalist.
Truly.
Man.
She inspired. Was just everything that my brain needed. And then, you know.
Do you remember her whole thing where she would like put her dirty kitchen rags in the hamper and people would be like, why do you do that? How they'll smell. You? And yes, she goes, to lay them out and dry them first. I don't know why that's what I remember, but like people
I also
outraged.
Remember that. Outraged. Yes, they were. They were outraged by that. Yeah, I do remember that.
Internet is the Wild West, so I don't blame her for leaving it, but I'm sad she did.
I know.
Right? So gnarly. Yeah.
I know. I don't blame her either. Attached. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. If you need help with your relationships, you haven't read Attached, you gotta do that. You know,
gotta read Attached.
And any Brene Brown.
Or there's this thing called the Relationship Resilience course that is still out.
The Thoughts Pod. People
yes.
You just want send us a message and we'll hook you up.
We will hook you up. All your relational needs.
Yep. There's so, anyways, there's just like a million that you can.
So just test the
we'll
waters.
We'll let you know if we're ever reading a good one. We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next? What's next? Is it my turn?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, next, we would love it if you would foster positive, healthy relationships. I know that this is shocking, and you're going to say, Jessica, how is this relationship? I mean, how is this a replacement for therapy? Mm-hmm. Well, person who is listening, truly, I don't know if you know this, but it is one of the most important things we can do in this life is to connect with other people. And working on finding the right people and setting boundaries with those people so they treat you the right way, make sure you treat them the right way, like creating those positive, happy relationships that fill you up, that bring your life joy, and that you can use when things are difficult as a support. You know, like, I'm having a hard time today. Let me reach out to my dear friend, Sally, who I really love, and I can talk to her, and I'm going to feel better after I do. I know, she really is a 10 out of 10, you know. And just really like finding those people that are helpful, that like pick you up, make you feel better, and bring a lot of joy and happiness to your life, even when maybe life isn't that joyful or happy, because we definitely all go through phases of that, you know. So creating those relationships that are going to be there for you, and letting go of relationships that are not helpful and that are maybe dragging you down a little bit. Spending less time focusing on those and spending more time trying to build those really healthy relationships. But the more you learn to find those people, the happier your whole entire life is going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
worth every bit of energy you put into it.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
All right. The next one is being outdoors, and bonus points if you're outdoors in nature. I mean, this one speaks for itself. It's just good to get outside, fresh air, it's healing.
Sunshine.
I mean, this is 1,000% why I moved to the Oregon coast. not the best place for me to find relationships out here in this retirement.
The nature.
You can't have it all.
Check.
Have it all. Yeah.
But you know, I can walk a half mile and be at the beach. So you know, you win some, you lose some. But truly, I have really been healed a lot just by being outside in the last year. So
yeah,
I love that one. Being outside.
That one is so good. So good. Let's see. Oh, okay. Do the hard self-care. So we actually have a whole episode on this one too, I believe.
We'll look that guy up.
We'll look that one up. But this one is that whole quote that we shared and the idea behind like, let's see, self-care isn't just taking a bubble bath or getting a pedicure, even though those things are dope and you should do them if you want to. It's about creating a life that you don't want to run away from. Okay. And so the entire idea that it's not just like, I'm going to burn the candle at both ends and then run away for a night and then come back and then begin again and burning the candle at both ends. It's about like making those harder choices that are going to create a life that you want to stay in and you're not constantly wanting to escape, you know? So things like putting the time into your relationships, putting the time into communicating, putting the time into developing an exercise routine that you really love and is sustainable. Instead of focusing on results, we focus on our health, well-being, our mind, our body, that whole connection. It's just like, it's all those things you know you should be doing. That makes sense.
Yes.
Like all the things you know you should
just
be
choose
doing.
One of those things and do it.
Just choose one. Know? Yes. And just do that thing. And then it makes every day more like you're like actually living instead of surviving. So do the hard things. They're so hard, but they're so good.
They're so good. Yeah. And that is episode 35. If you 35. Want to listen to it. It's such a good
one. I think Jessica talks about her mouth guard in that one. Something about investing in yourself. I don't know why I remember this. She's talking about like investing in
yourself.
It was
a lot of money.
Yes, yes. And not just doing the little things, but she invested in a mouth guard because that was like,
it
was a good thing. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
I wear it every night still.
Case in point.
Don't worry. If you invest, it will just pay dividends for eons. Because I have had this mouth guard for several years now, and it was a lot of money. I remember. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next thing is to try and actually learn about yourself. So let's say you go out to a party and you're just talking, and then someone says something and you kind of internally get really angry and you're like, kind of wanting to push against them or push them away or do, you know, like when you go home, take a moment and dig into that. Like, what was going on? Why was I feeling angry when they were talking about that? Was I triggered? Was I remembering something else? Did they remind me of someone? Just taking that time to be introspective and to be very honest with yourself. I think that's what is something that some people struggle with, is just being honest with themselves. I think we all really struggle with that. Like, what is the real reason I'm avoiding this, you know? But it's very helpful to be introspective, even if nothing changes, to know where the problem lies, to be able to see it as it's happening, recognize it. That will eventually help you to slow it down and change it. Recognition will always be the first step towards changing. You know, it just is going to be. And if you don't have a therapist to tell you what to change, which they really won't even do that anyway, you're still going to have to do the work. But that's where it's so nice to be introspective, to say, oh my gosh, I just got off the phone with my mom. I feel so annoyed at her. Why is that? You know, and digging into it and be like, oh, she was talking over me a lot and that was really bothering me. Makes sense. When she talks over me, I don't feel heard. And when I don't feel heard, I don't feel important to my mom. And that's really hard for me because I feel like my mom is someone who should deem me as an important person. And then I can kind of go from there and I could have a conversation with my mom, or I could say, you know, I could reframe my beliefs. Just because my mom talks over me doesn't mean she doesn't think I'm important, you know? So you can go different ways once you've kind of identified what's going on, but it's so important to identify what is going on. So it's a great step to start at. Like, if you don't go to therapy, if you haven't gone to therapy, it's really nice to know what you would be working on therapy if you were in there, you know? So it's helpful.
And our next one is basically more about learning more. Learning about yourself through the shows and books that you read or watch. So this one's kind of interesting, but media can be a great learning tool. It can help you learn about people who are different from you. It can help you have more empathy for a situation that maybe you've never been in or experienced. It can help you increase your awareness of different things or just heal things within you. Like something, I think I've talked about this on here before, but I used to really dislike being in hospital settings. Like it was just a weird trigger for me. I had seen like my grandpa really ill, like in a hospital bed as like a tween. And it, so then from then on, it was like, I hated being in a hospital setting. And so I legitimately just watched Grey's Anatomy as like desensitization.
Yeah.
And truly it worked, because when I was in grad school, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so there were like a lot of hospital visits and things like that. And I was pretty unfazed. So I credit Grey's Anatomy. So that was something I gleaned from like media and watching things. You guys have examples of like books you've read? I mean, books can be like a really nice mental break and escape and put yourself in a different mind.
Yeah, you can learn so much. When we were first married, I made Elliot watch a lot of just the popular, normal kind of like TV dramas.
Oh, I think we lost Jessica.
She's gone.
Oh, is that working? I don't know where she went. I was really excited to hear what Elliot learned from
those TV dramas.
Maybe she'll come back.
Maybe she'll come back. But
I see her.
Yeah.
There you are.
There you are.
Okay. Is it working now?
Yeah, okay, we're good.
My AirPod died, guys.
AirPod died.
This is why I only use one at a time, because I'm terrified of them both dying at the same time.
Yes, that happens to me all the time. Truly,
so I only use one at a time, so we're good. But it took a second. Anyways, I made him watch shows like Parenthood and stuff to like learn about family dynamics and how someone might yell about something else when it's really about this, and just like help him learn why maybe I was the way that I am and why maybe I am the same as most people and whatever. So anyways, yeah, it's just kind of like funny. So it can be very helpful just to learn like, oh, this is like what people would say in that situation. This is what I could do. It's very helpful, because in books and movies and stuff, people don't usually do it wrong. They usually do it right. And so it can be very helpful to learn from. And if they do it wrong, they usually play it out until it's better. If that makes sense.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's very helpful to watch.
Yeah.
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 All right. Taylor, do you want to take it away with our last favorite alternative?
I do. Medication is a good alternative for therapy. So we actually have an episode on this too, where we interviewed Dr. Kyle Smith, and he walked us through what it's like to go to a general practitioner, which he is. He's amazing if you ever need a doctor in the Sacramento area. But yeah, so he basically talks about what it's like to go to your doctor, what kinds of questions he's going to ask, what types of medications, how long it usually takes for medications to work, and everything like that. So we have that episode if you want to listen to it. But just in general for medications, I do like professionally like the strategy of trying therapy first and then trying a medication. If your therapeutic interventions aren't really working, I find the most success with that. But if for whatever reason therapy is not an option and you're feeling very confident with the guidance of your physician of trying a medication, that is absolutely an option for you. Medications can be incredibly helpful. They can really kind of elevate you to a level where you can start implementing good coping mechanisms and strategies for yourself. Sometimes you're feeling too emotionally flooded, you're feeling too just heavy to even implement things. And so sometimes medications can just raise you a little bit up to where things get a little bit clearer, a little less foggy. You're able to reframe, you're able to identify thinking errors or just be able to implement other strategies that you need to in order to help yourself. So medications definitely have their place in the healing process and dealing with things. Absolutely. I've seen great success with them.
That's episode 57. You guys
57
to that one as well.
Yeah.
Some of our oldies but goodies.
I will try to link all of them in the show notes so that you guys don't have to search.
Mm-hmm.
But that would probably only go to either like Apple or Spotify.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can do it all. But, you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
Where my energy's at.
Yeah, right?
We hear you. It's usually pretty well. If it's me, anyways. Not you, but me.
That's true. Okay. Well, hope you guys enjoyed all of those ideas. I mean, those are all things that we talk to our clients about and share with them as coping strategies and things to do. So they're tried and true by many as ways to ease depression, cope with anxiety, day-to-day hard things. So,
yeah.
Anyways, thanks for joining us. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com. And if you search Thoughts Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Bryich from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.